What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, March 20th, rolling through one of the best months of the year. And it's actually going way too quickly. I can't believe it's already March 20th. Spring training, that's still happening. The Marlins are 8 days away from their opening day. It'll be a home opener, Lone Depot Park, against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Marlins are encouraging all fans to bring instruments, so it's very loud inside Lone Depot Park. I cannot wait to hear that. I hope it causes chaos for the Pittsburgh Pirates. The season, though, it did start this morning. I don't know if any of you woke up specifically to watch the Dodgers and Padres, with the Dodgers winning. Wasn't an easy win for them, but in the end, they got the W. I'm not here to talk about the Dodgers and Padres, so don't worry about it. I do love talking baseball. I will talk plenty of baseball here on the show throughout the season. It'll mainly be Marlins. But I know we got a lot of New Yorkers in South Florida. And I do pull for the Yankees. The Marlins are my number one. But I just feel baseball is better when the Yankees have a big involvement. And the Yankees haven't been really good for quite some time. Yankees fans know that. Mets fans, you know that too about your team. I know you know it about the Yankees, but yeah, you know it about your team too. So I'm very much looking forward to the Marlins season starting. Although we got some info yesterday from an interview, which I watched. I don't watch a whole lot of other shows or interviews unless they're pretty quick. But I did watch this one. Credit to the Pivot for having Jazz Chisholm Jr. on their show. And it is something that I will get into, things that Jazz said, because they need to be addressed. Something else that needs to be addressed, your NCAA bracket, if you haven't filled it out yet. Don't forget to do it. I've got a lot of invitations from friends. Fill out a bracket, sign up here. I'm not doing a bracket. I haven't done a bracket in years. I'm not good at brackets. I openly admit that. It's a waste of money. I'd rather make a donation instead of filling out a bracket. Because previously I would just make donations, but I filled out a bracket. So why waste time filling out a bracket when I could just make the donation and be done with it? I don't want to donate to Hard Rock Bet and the app, though. That I want to get paid from. But some of you will be doing office pools. Maybe you filled it out right when the bracket came out. Pick your final four. Just don't forget to fill in that total for the tiebreaker and the championship game, which you probably have two teams that won't be there unless one of them's UConn, because supposedly nobody's going to beat UConn. I'll be watching the action. It all starts tomorrow. Games, and more games. Tomorrow and Friday, that tournament could not be better structured for fans of action, sports fans. You pretty much have four games going at a time from noon until past midnight. It's a great event to watch. But I'm not going to sit here and talk about the NCAA tournament on this Wednesday. I'm not going to talk about the Canes not being in it again, because I'm very much over that. What I really want to get to this hour and in this first segment is what came out of nowhere. At least to me, it came out of nowhere. Jazz Chisholm Jr. on another platform, which was the Pivot, Jazz's words gave me what could be, if I wanted to, an entire show. Now, normally on this program or on my social media, I say something, I write something, I produce news, and I give other shows an entire show. my information that I put out there gets other shows talking for quite some time. It is not often at all, maybe twice a year, where another show will have somebody on or say something, and then I come on the airwaves and I'm talking about it. I'm going to give you my opinion on what Jazz Chisholm Jr. said. Because to me, Jazz went scorched earth. Jazz gave a very specific interview that gives a bunch of us a lot to talk about and to think about. Who Jazz really is, how Jazz approaches the game, and what Jazz thinks of others. Marlins opening day is 8 days away, and this interview comes out yesterday with Jazz saying a lot. So that's what I want to get to. I think it's a big deal, and I'm really glad that it came along today, because I don't want to talk about the NCAA tournament again. The Miami Dolphins, we know what they're doing. They're making minor moves. They're restructuring contracts. The Miami Heat, they're a mess right now. And now Bam is hurt. Duncan's in Miami. I mean, I'll get to all that. But to lead on this Wednesday, it's going to be about Jazz. However, I can't talk about Jazz. I can't tell you my thoughts on what Jazz said until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
First of all, allow me to summarize in short what Jazz said, because this was an interview that lasted over an hour. And I watched the entire thing. Jazz was talking about his upbringing in the Bahamas. It's better in the Bahamas. He mentioned how he moved to Kansas in high school. Then he was in the minor leagues for a few years. And he never really fit in. He was always a super talented athlete. But he was like, hey, I'm a bit different. I love making art and music, and then I get the call to the majors. I join the Marlins. I get dealt from Arizona to Miami. And Jazz said between 2020 and 2022, he absolutely hated it. He was like, this is what I dreamed of, and I hate it. I love playing the game, but I hate everything other than playing the game. Jazz Chisholm Jr. said that the veterans with the Marlins were mean to him, specifically the team captain. Jazz never referred to the team captain by name, but that team captain was Miguel Rojas. Jazz gave examples, and very specific examples, of how he never fit in with the rest of the players in that clubhouse. He talked about how he sat away from them. He was separate from them. He never went out with them. He did his own thing. He didn't even talk to the guys in the clubhouse. Yet he continued to play pretty well when he was healthy. Jazz also on this interview on The Pivot, he addressed the now infamous team meeting. The one where Mattingly said things needed to change, things needed to be aired out, that meeting. He also talked about napping before the games. Then Jazz said everything changed when Skip Schumacher came to town. And he really liked Skip. He had a better experience last year. And now the Marlins are bringing in Jazz's friends. He's best friends with Nick Gordon. He really likes Tim Anderson. And the clubhouse vibe for Jazz is so much better now, Plus, he really gets along with Luis Arraez. That's kind of the quick summary. Even though it wasn't quick, I probably took 2.5 minutes saying it. But it was 1 hour 20 worth of words. And that's the best I could do to summarize what Jazz said. Now, my first question is this. This interview with Jazz airing it out, does this help or hurt the Miami Marlins? That's my first question. Secondly, does it help or hurt Jazz Chisholm Jr.? My opinion, I think it hurts both the Marlins and Jazz. And the reason I say that, locker rooms and clubhouses, they're supposed to be sacred places. They're private offices, essentially. There's team bonding and a team chemistry. Now, what happens is not always smooth. Teams are families. And even your family probably fights. But everything is supposed to be kept in-house. In general, when it comes to sports, teams prefer to keep their dirty laundry out of the public eye. If players knew that things that they said and did behind closed doors would become public, not through a source, but they'd become public through a player inside those doors, that would violate everything within that clubhouse and organization. I feel even though Jazz wanted to unburden himself, he broke rule number one. The number one rule of being on a team, family business stays family business, period. Even if Jazz had beef with Miguel Rojas, which seems pretty evident, even if Jazz liked Skip better than he liked Mattingly, even if Jazz felt bullied by his vets in his first few years, what happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse. Now, some of you may not think that's right. That's how sports work. You may think of your office. And if something goes down in your office, if you're getting, you believe, bullied in your office, what do? Do you say it publicly? Some of you may say, yeah, you should say it publicly. Or do you go to human resources? Do you say something internally? Now, here in 2024, people have all sorts of different thoughts. There should be no more rules. You should say this. You should say that. Let's be legit here. This is how sports work. And you may think going back to Bullygate with the Miami Dolphins. Look, there's always something in South Florida, isn't there? Remember Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, how things need to change. Let's be legit. Ultimately, with what Jazz said, how do you think it makes the Marlins look? I think it makes the Marlins look bad. Because why is there all of this turmoil? Where's the leadership? And I'm not talking about necessarily the leadership now, but the years Jazz was referring to, everything before last season. I think it still makes the organization look bad overall. But you think about the leadership. Who was enforcing order on this team? Why was a star player allowed to sleep in the clubhouse? Why weren't guys interacting with him? As an organization, this all sounds bad. And for Jazz himself, the act of talking about all of this openly and publicly, if you want to unburden yourself, I would say do it to your manager. Do it to a therapist. Do it to someone internally. But to bring this business to the public eye, I feel it makes it seem like he's a difficult teammate. I think that's the way it seems. Now, of course, the answer to all of this, 100% of it, is produce. If Jazz is playing 150 games and homering 40 times and stealing 25 or 30 bags, you think anybody's going to care what Jazz said on that show in the interview? If he can stay healthy and produce at a high level, this dude has all the talent in the world to be a superstar. If he is the absolute star of this team, he's got the power, he's got the speed, he's helping this team win, he's available to play. You're like, okay, Jazz said that, but look what he's doing on the field. What's clear to me, Jazz is very much about Jazz. Now, Jazz isn't the only one like that. People are about themselves. And if you're wondering right now, well, why do you say that, Andy? There were examples in that interview that Jazz talked about. He talked about a team rule where you have to wear nice shoes, like dress shoes, on the flight. Now, you may think that's a dumb rule. Okay, it might be a dumb rule. You're going on a flight, you want to be comfortable. But it's a team rule. And Jazz said he didn't want to follow it. He wanted to wear nice Nikes, sneakers. He's the one that's saying that. He's like, I don't want to do that. This is where I'm from. This is what I do. If the team has that rule, okay, but I'm not going to do it. The way I look at this, and this would be with any player saying that. It's not just Jazz. Jazz is the one that talked about it. But if any player said that, my response would be, you're a Major League Baseball player. You're making a lot of money. The team has a rule. Put on a pair of dress shoes and wear it on the flight. It's not that difficult. I just think it speaks to a bigger point. Jazz doesn't think the rules apply to him. Or he just doesn't care about the rules. He wants to do his own thing. The story that he told on the pivot, where he fell asleep in the clubhouse and Miguel Rojas, the captain, saw him sleeping. There was a team meeting coming up, and instead of waking him up, Miggy let him sleep through the meeting. Said, okay, we're not going to wake him up. He wants to sleep. Let him sleep. And Jazz was going off on Miguel Rojas. Now, to me, Miguel Rojas is a shortstop. Every player in that clubhouse has a position. And no player in that clubhouse has a position of being an iPhone alarm app. You need to know when your team meeting is and be ready for it. It's not that hard. You shouldn't fall asleep and be asleep during a team meeting. Why should it be somebody's job to wake you up? You should be up. You should know there's a team meeting. I'm not trying to, and I want to kind of make this clear. I'm not saying what I'm saying because I'm coming into this hour with, I don't like Jazz, I want to go off on Jazz, I want to bully Jazz. That's not it. I'm just giving you my opinion on what Jazz said and how it seems to me. If it was somebody else saying it, I would do the same exact thing. But Jazz is the one who said it. This guy clearly loves baseball. He's part of the new generation. I love watching Jazz play. He has such a passion for the game. You could tell. But he wants to do things his own way. If you want to pimp home runs, I say go for it. If you want a Euro step when you get to the plate, have at it. That stuff has never bothered me. Baseball, to me, needs more fun. Fun can be had. You do that on the field. You can have fun and at the same time still follow team rules, even if you disagree with those rules. The rules that apply for everyone on that team apply to exactly that, everyone, not just 24 out of a 25-man roster. You have to follow the rules, whatever the rules are. If you don't like the rules, you follow the rules. We're not talking about a law. We're not talking about the Constitution. We're just talking about team rules. Like the Yankees, no facial hair. No facial hair. Why? I guess the Yankees organization wants them to always look classy, no facial hair. And what are you going to do? Not follow that rule? They're going to have to like shave your beard while you're sleeping? There's just rules that are in place, and you need to respect the rules. This is not tennis. This is not golf. Those are individual sports. This is a team sport. What I am glad about, though, is that what Jazz was mentioning was up until the beginning of last season. The vibe I get from Jazz now is, yes, he was airing that out, but things are better. He's not even feeling the grind of spring training anymore, he said, because he's enjoying it so much. He's happy. He's healthier. He's looking to have a big year. And if that's true, fantastic. Have at it. Lead your team with your play. The best ability is availability. That's what I want to see from Jazz, because I love watching that dude play. He's so exciting to watch. He's got that energy. He doesn't even have to pop open one of these monster energy drinks like I'm about to. He doesn't have to do that. I mean, maybe he should and he wouldn't fall asleep, but I really think he wanted to sleep because he didn't want to talk to anyone or do anything in that clubhouse. And sometimes when you just want to be away from everything, you go to sleep and then you don't have to think about anything or worry about anything. You just go to sleep. I hope you come to my poker tournament, not Jazz, but you. Jazz can come. I hope you fall asleep at the table so I could take all of your chips. That'd be a good idea. The Slater Scoops poker tournament is coming up in less than 2 weeks from now, Tuesday, April 2nd, at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. My tournament is every single month in the poker room at the Hard Rock, and it has a $20,000 minimum in the prize pool. We've been getting close to $30,000 the past few months. A lot of you have been showing up. It's a great event. It's only $250 to buy in. And if you get lucky and knock me out of my own tournament, I will give you two seats on the glass to go see the Florida Panthers in action next month. That's courtesy of the Workers' Comp Legal Center. If I win my own tournament, which I've done three times, I will give those seats to whoever finishes in second. And I hope I win my own tournament coming up in April. Put a reminder in your phone. Put a reminder in your head. Tuesday night, April 2nd, cards in the air at 6 p.m. You could register until 9:30. Be there. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. We've got live racing going on right now, literally right now at Gulfstream Park. It is the championship meet at Gulfstream Park, and that means the best of the best in the horse racing world. the best races with the best horses and the best jockeys and the best trainers. Really, the best of everything is at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet. And we are 10 days away from the Florida Derby. I will be at Gulfstream Park for the Florida Derby, and I hope to see you there. Visit GulfstreamPark.com to make a table reservation if you want to be inside 10 Palms. That is Gulfstream Park's trackside restaurant. You get yourself a table, you have a fantastic meal, and on Florida Derby Day, it'll be a great buffet, seafood, meats, the fixins, desserts. It's going to be tremendous, but make sure you have a reservation. You could go to Gulfstream Park any live race day or any day you want. It doesn't even have to be Florida Derby Day, but that would be my suggestion because the atmosphere is going to be awesome. Gulfstream Park Championship Meet going on right now, live racing Wednesday through Sunday in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. Before I go to Gulfstream Park, I am going to be going to Lone Depot Park. Not quite the same, but I'm still going to see some action there. And hopefully a lot of instruments being played. Two days before the Florida Derby, it is opening day at Lone Depot Park. Jazz Chisholm Jr., Luis Ariz, Jesus Luzardo, and your
Miami Marlins
will be taking the field against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The talk of the Marlins today, Jazz Chisholm Jr. and his interview on The Pivot. Here is my concern when it comes to what was said in that interview and what happens with this team. When things don't go right, when things are not coming easily for Jazz personally or for the team as a whole, what's the reaction going to be? What's Jazz's presence going to be in that clubhouse? You know who I know hated what Jazz did the most? Like, of every person who listened to that interview, you know who hated it the absolute most? Probably even more than Miguel Rojas. It would be a Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter.
Because Jeter was around for much of this. And no one valued the privacy of being a ball player more than Jeter. No one. Nobody was more about keep it in house than Derek Jeter. Jeter didn't play all that drama stuff. He didn't play the he said, she said things. Here you have one of the best players on the Miami Marlins, one of the most talented guys in all of baseball, and he's spilling the beans about everyone. Not naming names specifically, but he's like, we had a captain. His name rhymes with Miguel Mojas. He didn't say that, but. Like, he's spelling out exactly what is wrong with everyone. Now, Jazz was telling stories, and I don't know how much of his stories are true or not, but they're pretty interesting stories. Jazz told a story that a first baseman, presumably Jesus Aguilar, let 14 errors go because he didn't like Jazz. And if someone else made that throw, a.k.a. Miguel Rojas, Jesus Aguilar would have made the play, but he wasn't making the play for Jazz. That's a pretty big accusation. He didn't name names, but we know who it is. Intentionally botching a play because you don't like your teammate? I don't know. I mean, maybe, but I don't know. It's a good story. If you were a GM of another team and the Marlins go south this season, not to the Keys, but like their season goes south. They have a weak lineup. We know that. Their best pitchers are hurt. So if the Marlins are not doing well, and here comes the trade deadline, you're a GM. Would you go after Jazz after what was said? After hearing all of this? Because now you know you have a player who's willing to throw old teammates under the bus. A player who doesn't like team rules and doesn't go by them, at least not all of them. Somebody who says that their former teammates were intentionally tanking plays because they didn't like them. Someone who personally admitted to sleeping in the clubhouse. So if you're a GM, do you go after Jazz? You think Jazz's agent is pumped about this? But again, to be clear, there's an aspect about Jazz where it's like, let the kids play, and I'm all about that. Because baseball needs fun. They need bat flipping. They need Euro stepping. Baseball needs personality. The Marlins are inviting that personality into their stadium now by saying bring instruments because they want personality. They want an atmosphere in that ballpark. However, you can do all that. You can have that personality and still be on time and wear the right shoes on a plane and not speak ill of former teammates and just have a basic respect for the game. That can happen at the same time that a player has fun on the field. I'm going to have my eyes on Jazz more now because of this interview. Jazz says he wants to be a Hall of Famer and he dreams of being an MVP. I want to see Jazz have one healthy season. I want to see him put up big numbers. The Marlins are better when Jazz is better. And Jazz is better when he's on the field and not just in the dugout or in the clubhouse because he's on the injured list. He's always been interesting, and I think we'll find him even more interesting now. We do need to understand, though, that the Marlins' best player, most important player, is still Luis Arraez. Jazz is great, but he's got to stay healthy. He gets the headline grabber for now, but Luis Arraez is a hitting machine. He's the generational talent. And if the Marlins are going to do anything offensively, Luis Arraez is going to set that table for him. Just like Stewie is going to set the table for you with the Bagel Loan if you're buying a home, need a mortgage, or refinancing. The Bagel Loan, you look at a bagel, you see a big zero in the middle, and that's exactly what you will pay Stewie. Zero. Nothing. You pay Stewie no lender fees. You pay no appraisal fees. It is the Bagel Loan, and Stewie has got that Bagel Loan for you. I have Stewie's personal cell phone number, and I'm going to give it to you right now, so pay attention. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you want the Bagel Loan from Stewie. MLS number 226715. The suddenly hobbled Miami Heat are in Cleveland tonight, and Bam hit that game winner against the Pistons. It's a good thing he did. Now he's having back problems. The Heat are without Tyler. They're without Kevin Love, Duncan Robinson. He's in Miami meeting with a back specialist. Spo will say we have enough, but I just hope the Miami Heat will have enough to avoid the play-in round. Although last year, it didn't matter. Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol is going to join me in just a moment. What you should do, maybe you want to bet on some of these games coming up tomorrow and Friday. You should not bet, though, on your retirement and your financial future. You should be getting a hold of Trajan Wealth, located locally in Palm Beach. Trajan Wealth will help you design a plan that's based around your goals. Not theirs, but yours. Visit TrajanWealth.com. That's TrajanWealth.com or call Trajan Wealth at 561-390-1000. You got to be smart with your money. You want to have fun and bet on these basketball games and put in some parlays, great, but don't bet on your retirement. Advisory services are offered through Trajan Wealth LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and this is a paid advertisement. Here on this Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, spring break's still going on. I think maybe we got a couple of weeks left, but Everything seems to be going okay, knock on wood, Miami Beach and the surrounding areas. I know you guys have had some involvement in that as well. Am I right? Things are going pretty good, or can you give me some information where maybe they're not?
Things are going, actually, Andy, they're going great. As far as the way I see it, we haven't had, like you said, knock on wood. It's been 3 weeks now that we've been supplementing the local police there with our troopers. And I'm really happy to report that there's been really no major incidents, no violent crimes, and that's really what we wanted. And I know for the local government in Miami Beach, it was a very pivotal year to try to send that message and to try to make sure that they kind of set that tone. And I think so far it's been very successful.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to have you pat yourself on the back here. And plus, it's not just the Florida Highway Patrol. But do you believe, Lieutenant, that the reason things are pretty calm, from what I understand, is because that message was portrayed so loudly and the presence that law enforcement has there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a combination, as far as messaging goes, it was a combination of the Miami Beach's, their spring breakup campaign with all the educational stuff that they put out there. And then the governor, Governor DeSantis's messaging with his press conference and what he's doing at the state level to, again, supplement, sending state resources into that. And then just the footprint overall, not just Highway Patrol, like you said, but just the overall footprint of law enforcement in total. There's you can tell it's kind of a zero tolerance approach, really. There's coming into the city, there's license plate reader checkpoints, where these license plate readers are constantly going off and they're checking every tag that goes by. And it just gives information to the officers working those checkpoints. If there's a stolen vehicle or stolen tag, if the registered owner of that vehicle might have an arrest warrant, it just tells you anything, any kind of red flags that pops up when it reads that tag. That's the first one. Then there's a DUI checkpoint looking for potentially impaired drivers. And then just, you know, the amount of proactive officers up and down, it's really led to what we're seeing.
If they had those license plate readers, Lieutenant, on, let's say, I-95 or the Turnpike, how many troopers would you guys have to hire to stop everybody?
The thing is that the license plate readers, they're actually on, you can put them stationary, but they're actually mounted on vehicles. So if you've ever seen them, it kind of looks like a, it really just looks like a rectangular shape, like almost like a light, but and they put them in the front of the vehicles and the back of the vehicles at like an angle. So they're actually mounted on vehicles. So if you're the officer in that vehicle, that license plate reader is going to constantly be reading all the tags around it. But to answer your question, I guess if you put one on I-95 or if you put one on a major road, well, yes, it's going to be constantly getting hits, but there's just not going to be enough resources to kind of relay that information to it and you know, address those violations.
Lieutenant, how does it work? You mentioned the governor just a minute ago, and I get all these press releases, and I think we all know that he had sent you guys, the Florida Highway Patrol, to Texas for people trying to get into the country. When the Florida Highway Patrol is in another state helping out another agency, what kind of rights or what kind of duties do you perform where it's legal for you to do something because you're the Florida Highway Patrol and not certified, I guess, in Texas?
Right. Yeah, that's a very good question. So what happens in that case, and I can relate, because when I went to, years back, I went to the second inauguration for President Obama, and I went to Washington, D.C., and we were joined by just hundreds of police department agencies from nationwide that they come for the inauguration. And what happens is you get the local, the state, federal, or local law enforcement from that city, from that state, they will actually deputize you and give you those same arrest powers for that state. And so if you need to effect an arrest or if you need to carry out or enforce any law, you are now deputized and you can do that in that state.
Sounds so official. Deputized. A lot of people, you know, kind of on the same question, a lot of people see law enforcement agencies driving from one city to another. So you have somebody, let's say, with the Broward Sheriff's Office, and a deputy's driving from Palm Beach to Broward. Right. And you see him on the turnpike, lieutenant, and you see people slow down, but it's not somebody within Palm Beach. It's a BSO deputy.
Right.
How does that work? Because if you speed by them, sure, they're not going to be happy, but can they do anything?
They can. They actually can. They might not be able to maybe issue a citation or affect an arrest. There are some exceptions to the law, but or to the rule, really. Like a fresh pursuit is one of them, meaning if you're pursuing a vehicle and you happen to cross into another county, that's one of the exceptions. But typically, what you'll see is if you say, like you said, a Broward Sheriff's deputy, and you see him in Palm Beach County, can he affect an arrest? Technically, no. But however, we still have a duty to act. What does that mean? That means if you see a crime happening, or if you see an infraction, a traffic infraction that's a really bad one, you still have a duty to act. Or if you see a potentially impaired driver, it's your duty to stop that vehicle. And if you realize that, or you can confirm that it is, let's say, an impaired driver, then more than likely what will happen is that deputy that's not from that county will call either a trooper, us, or they'll call a deputy from that county to effect the arrest. And then the deputy that stopped the vehicle has to give you a statement, or has to add a supplement to the report as to the reason for the stop, as to the suspicion and how it led to that. But to answer the question, yes, they can still stop you. And if necessary, they will call somebody from that jurisdiction or from FHP to effect whatever arrest or citation needs to be issued.
Yeah, because I've seen so many times, Lieutenant, someone will like slow down like 15 miles below the speed limit because there's
right.
somebody from Miami-Dade in Palm Beach County. And I always say to myself, Lieutenant, you know, what are you doing? But I guess people see law enforcement from anywhere and they get scared.
I don't think it's scared. I think they just, I would like to think it's just out of respect, right?
It's definitely not out of respect. You're giving the public way too much credit. Out of respect.
I'd like to think it's either out of respect or out of, at the very least, courtesy, you know?
You go ahead and think that, Lieutenant. No problem at all. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, thanks for everything you do. Thanks for the time, and stay safe out there.
Thanks, Andy. See ya.
All right. Out of respect. Are you kidding me? Gosh, go on social media, turn on the news. Out of respect. I mean, it should be, but come on. We know it's not. All right. That's all the time I've got for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.